Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May the 10th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're in Chapter 2, There is a Solution. And today, from page 5, where you see the asterisk where it says Fully Explained Appendix 2, we're going to be reading page 567, which is the spiritual experience in its entirety. So excited to hear what everybody has to say today on this. And so we'll be commenting on that entire page, about page and a quarter of the spiritual experience on page 567. So today's readers are, we have Donna B. on the 12 steps. We have Kathy G. on the 12 traditions. Readers of our texts are Julie E. B., Kathleen O., and then we have our newcomer greeter, Leslie M., and Robin P. will be our announcer today. So yesterday's share ID for Thursday, May the 9th, is 12,886. That's 12886. And today's meeting this morning at 7 a.m., May 10th, 2019, is 12,888. So that's 12888. All right. The OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Donna B. to read our 12 steps. Donna?
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Denver. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
And thank you, Donna B. And Kathy G. will be reading our 12 traditions today. Kathy G.?
Thanks, Sherry, and good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Illinois. today in Kansas City. 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-functional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Sherry. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that includes your mute button on the phone, please. So please use star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and if you look on page 25, there's an asterisk that talks about, at the bottom, it says fully explained Appendix 2, and that's on page 567, which is the spiritual experience. And so we're going to be having Julie E.B., read the entire its entirety on page 567 and share on that whole reading. So, Julie E.B., could you please get us started? Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety. because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomers are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With a few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped into an unexpected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have any difficulty with the spirituality of this program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable. There is a principle, which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Hi, I'm Julie, gratefully recovered today. And I just feel very moved by having the opportunity to have a chance to share on this section. I heard someone in the earlier meeting say that they were glad they had gone to this when it came up in the book because they had an experience of thoroughness in working this program that leads to a kind of honesty and thoroughness in life. And I think that I used to want the sudden, the amazing, the awesome. And when I would say, God, do for me what I could not do for myself, I would mean that I wanted to eat all the food. I wanted to go to all the places that were bothering me. I wanted to sink into all the self-pity and resentment and fear that filled my life. And then I just wanted to somehow, some way, be magically lifted into another place. But my experience was different than that. I don't have a huge distinction in my mind, but I understand what they're talking about here. Because for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, waking up isn't all at once. Some mornings I jolt awake, but other mornings it's just I'm sort of awake, then I'm a little more awake, and I might not actually be fully awake until noon or so. So it's a very interesting idea that as we have these experiences, we gain this consciousness, which means awakeness. We gain this awakeness to a power greater than ourselves. And it doesn't have to be defined by a God. I've worked these steps with someone who used the ocean, for example. There's something both infinite, powerful, but also that we can participate with, maybe float in, maybe feel like we're going under, all sorts of things. There's all sorts of powers greater than ourselves. The main thing is that we have something to connect to that becomes what it says, an unsuspected inner resource. So I had a religion. In fact, I had some amount of, I had a degree in religion, and I thought that that would be enough. And it was such a blessing, some of it, as I was growing up in a terrible situation. But I could not seem to bring it to bear where my food was concerned. You know, 300 pounds, bedbound, six doctors, or restricting, losing 100 pounds in 20 weeks, and screaming at my beloved family members, stark raving abstinent. Either way, I couldn't seem to get it. And so what happened for me is I read this book. I started with a basic abstinence, which is the things I... Okay. So much to say. What happened for me is that minute by minute, time by time, I discovered different pieces in this book the main one of which was that I could continue on as best I could, blotting out my intolerable experience, bottom of page 25, blotting out my awakeness, my consciousness of my intolerable situation as best I could, or seek some kind of spiritual help. And this is what I do here. So I hope you feel welcome here. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie B. Thank you for getting us started. So now it's opened up, and I'd love to hear who would like to share. And just reminding everybody, we're at the asterisk on page 25, which is leading us to the appendix to the spiritual experience, which we're going to comment on entirely. So who would like to jump in and share?
Roz G.
Roz
Mags C.
Mags C.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Miriam Ruska H.
I heard somebody O before that.
Kathleen.
Ah, Kathleen O. Okay. And I heard Miriam Ruska. And I can take one more.
Freya H.
Freya H. Okay. We have our lineup. All right. So I have Roz G, Mag C, Bruce E, Kathleen O, Miriam Ruska H, and Freya H. Okay. Roz, please get us started.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. Roz G, recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. I had a very intense and sick, dysfunctional religious background. And it was a restricting, unkind, isolating existence, and judgmental one as well. It was not human to me. And I was afraid to tap into an inner resource when I first learned about this, because I thought that I was going to be opening up to Satan. And when I continued to practice my religion, I continued to overeat and be judgmental and be all the things that the selfishness is all about. All of that brought for me was selfish and self-centeredness and distrust and judgmentalness. And after I prayed that set-aside prayer over and over every day, almost every day I pray that set-aside prayer, it gently opened my heart and mind to a soft, caring blanket of love. I do believe in the God of the scriptures. I do. I have a higher power that is gentle and warm and soft, and it takes me time. It has taken me time to develop a relationship with that. I have little aha moments every once in a while, little bursts of, oh, really? I didn't get that. But I'm grateful for the slow progression of development that my higher power and I are growing together. And in the morning, I get to sit in meditation and develop that relationship with my higher power, just like I would with good friends. My best friend is, we've had been friends for 40 years, and it's taken a long time for us to have the level of closeness and intimacy that we have today. And I believe the same happens with me and my higher power. For me, it has been slow progressing, and it will continue to progress. And I'm excited about how close I'm going to be able to get to my higher power, so that when the day comes that when I close my eyes for good forever, that I look forward and excited to spend eternity with it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Roz G. And Mag C, you're up, followed by Bruce E. Mag C?
Hi, everybody. This is Mag C from Denver, Colorado, compulsive overeater. And I came to this program just a confirmed atheist and just really angry at God and what I believe to be just this inhumane kind of allowance of, oh gosh, all this you know, crap that goes on. And then it happened to me, to my body. And it's been this 16-year process of doing the steps over and over again that I realized, number one, this program is not a cult. that's the first thing. This program does not demand anything but your insight into yourself. Now that's a gift right there. Because how many of us, sorry, you're going to hear my dog clicking around. How many of us actually take a look and examine, self-examine? I was able to make restitution. I was able to identify objectively things that had gone on in my life and actually make restitution for them, for things that I've done to my body and accept these tools of the program. I have wonderful, incredible women that I and men that I respect that have helped me through some seriously rough times. And like Roz was saying, it takes time. It's not, for me, it wasn't this sudden reversal of personality change. It was a gradual change, and it's not necessarily in who I am or how I believe I look at myself, but it's almost like finding out who I really want to be and who I've, just the good parts of myself that I've always been, and accepting that. And it's incredible. It is a personality change, and I'm very much a believer in a non-entity kind of God. I've had wonderful conversations with Julie E.B. and just in a loving way, just finding out how can I serve other people in this program who are not like me, who actually do have an entity that they believe in, and that it's not, none of us are wrong and none of us are right. It's just the way we find ourselves and how we find ourselves and how we become more loving to ourselves. And I have to say, this is a reality check for today. I was just in tears this morning because I am so mad and I'm so angry and I am so sad. And yes, you can still be mad, angry, and sad and scared. Thank you. And scared in this program because life is life and I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And I had this opportunity that came through as a job. And I love working with kids so much. And I love being of service to kids. And I had an opportunity to be an executive director. And I cannot take this job. I am not physically able anymore to take a job like that. And it wouldn't serve these kids right. And I have to admit that to myself. I have to nurture and love my limitations now. And that's a personality change. And to nurture this body, are you kidding me? I wanted to neglect and abandon and just, because my body's deformed. It was born that way. Thank you. I'll finish up right now. And today I'm just like, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to honor who I am. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks. That's all I got.
Thank you, Meg C. Bruce E., you're followed up by Kathleen O. Bruce?
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody on the line. Thank you, everybody doing service. This is Bruce E. I'm a sugar junkie, recovered down in South Florida. Tried to eat all the sugar in the whole southern part of the state of Florida and didn't get away with it. Found out I was addicted. So I am just very grateful today. And this study and this part of the Big Book Spiritual Experience is just amazing. Because I came into this program some years back. I'd had a spiritual experience in a church. Thought I knew everything. Thought I completely had the corner on all this God stuff. And found out I was face down in the food, man. I was just shooting it up. I just was really, really overdosing on all the sugar. So anyway, I was addicted. and still am powerless over it. But anyway, I wouldn't have read this part of it because I would have thought, well, I know all that. You know, my ego just blows everything up and just tells me all these lies. But this is great information here. And he's talking about a spiritual experience, spiritual awakening, are used many times in this book. And it talks about a personality change. And man, I needed a personality change. So I had that spiritual experience, but this program has given me in the direction of a spiritual awakening. So that's this what's happening to me now. And I was reading the promises the other day, and I said, you know, I can't believe it. Some years ago, I read those promises. I said, none of these are working for me or are happening in my life. And now I'm looking at the promises, and some of them are coming true for me. I didn't even realize it. It just was happening automatically, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. It says down here, bottom of that page, what often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. Man, I tried self-discipline. I tried not white-knuckling it. I tried, you know, all these food diets and food plans and doing all this stuff, and nothing worked until I got into this program. And I really didn't get the recovery until I got into Vision. Few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of power greater than themselves. So yeah, that's what I'm doing and trying to do and working on every day, is tapping into this inner resource, something within myself that produces this recovery, you know. But I have to put legs on my prayers. See, I thought at first all I had to do was pray, you know, and I pray, it's done with. You know, oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Sherry. And all I had to do is pray, and it's done. No, I found out I had to put legs on my prayers. Trust God and row to shore. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Brucey. Kathleen O., you're up, followed by Miriam Rivka H. Kathleen?
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, Sherry. It's great to be on the line with everyone. Oh, my gosh, this is so packed with so much information. I came into OA a meeting when I was in my 20s, but I was a know-it-all, and all I heard was the word God, and God, Roz did it, I could have been saying the same words. That was my conception when I heard the word God, and so I got up and walked out of the room and never came back into 12-step recovery for another 3 decades, and that was a lot of pain and a lot of eating. Because I had contempt prior to investigation. If someone had pointed to me these pages, if I had stuck around long enough, someone probably would have, it could have been a whole different experience for me. So I'm so happy that they put this in here. You know, there's a word in there, happily for everyone. This conclusion is erroneous that, you know, this is going to happen quickly, and that it's not a religious God thing. It's a spiritual experience. It's our conception. And we can recover provided he has not closed his mind to all spiritual concepts. So, you know, this spiritual experience really made me more aware. And my experience definitely developed slowly over a period of time. You know, and it was believing that I couldn't do this alone. I mean, I was in so much pain. I had to be open-minded and think, okay, well, let me give this a shot. And if I can have my own concept, I don't have to follow yours or anyone else's. It's my own concept. And, you know, on page 55, they say that deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And so, you know, how do we achieve this spiritual experience? Well, it's by taking the steps. And the main object of the big book is to help us find a power greater than ourselves, which is going to solve our problem. I mean, I had an eating problem. So when we hear the word God, it's our own conception of a higher power. And, you know, thankfully we don't have to adopt someone else's. The bottom line is with this power, we get power and direction to do what we could never do for ourselves. Because if I could have done this myself, I wouldn't be here on this line, and probably you wouldn't either. I'm sure we all have better things to do, although this is now one of the better parts of my day, ironically enough. So, you know, when any of us are speaking of God, we're speaking of our own experience. And the way that I knew I was having this, and I'm going to run out of time, but this spiritual experience is, you know, I started to know a new freedom, a new happiness. My fears did fall from me. My eating problem disappeared. This feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappeared. I ceased fighting anyone or anything, even food. And that's how I knew I had a spiritual experience. And you can too. Just if you're new or you're struggling, stay on the line. You're going to get it, I promise you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And Miriam Riska H, you're up, followed by Freya H. Miriam Riska?
Thanks so much, Sherry. This is Miriam Riska H. I'm starting my timer. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in New Jersey. I know this book is brilliant, and I'm so glad that this is in here, this, you know, explanation on the spiritual experience. I walked into this program already a religious person I called myself a religious person, I should say. I practice a religion, and I still do practice religion, but I was kind of disappointed that the big solution here was supposed to be some sort of spiritual experience. I thought I already kind of knew all I needed to know about spirituality. I thought that equals religion, and that, you know, that's all there is to it. And, like, you know, I guess that means this program won't work for me. And I'm happy to proclaim that was wrong. I was completely wrong. You know, I was taken through these 12 steps that are outlined in the big book. I was taken through the instructions that are so clearly given to us, and it worked for me too. Even someone who has already been religious my entire life. And I like how they describe that it can be a slow, gradual change. And like all, as I was going through the steps, and I would kind of say to myself, well, I'm not really feeling anything. It doesn't really seem like I thought I would need to like analyze all the steps and understand myself better and investigate my past and feel this close, unbelievable connection to higher power. And my sponsor just encouraged me, just do the work. Don't think about it. Just do it. And this has been my experience, that I just, you know, it didn't have to do, you know, analyzing. I didn't have to do scrutinizing. I didn't have to feel anything major and big. And today, when I look back, I see a change in myself that I'm really grateful for. And yes, I have a higher power that I am relying on more than ever, you know, even though it's that same old higher power, but I've come to know higher power in a completely new way. I'm almost out of time, but I'll have to wind up here, that I have been able to have an effective spiritual experience as a result of simply working the steps. It doesn't need to be complicated. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Miriam Riska H. Freya, and before we hear from Freya H., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. So we were at the asterisk on page 25, which leads us to Appendix 2, which is the spiritual experience on page 567. So we're going to comment on this entire reading on spiritual experience. So please get ready after Freya H. shares and to line up to hear great more shares. Thank you. Freya?
Freya H.? Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive overeater and bulimic, recovered in Colorado. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share on this reading this morning. I feel like this defines spiritual experience in a very simple way, which for me, you know, that he's undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, and that this change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. So that means I react to life, I respond to life differently, and it's not because I was white-knuckling my way through it and trying so hard through self-effort to make it happen. And that has absolutely been my experience. So now, you know, when I ask myself the question, have I had a spiritual experience, I can say yes, because I find myself in situations where I respond differently, and it and I'm not even aware of it until later. And I think, oh my goodness, I just made it through that situation without yelling at my kids or without, you know, thinking those negative thoughts. And that to me is evidence that God is, that something is different, you know, something is different, and that it's not me doing it. And I love the term spiritual awakening, because it means that I'm just becoming awake. You know, it doesn't mean, okay, I've got it, I'm done, I've graduated. It just means I'm aware of something that I wasn't aware of before. And I began to have this experience in my fourth step when I took my list of resentments and I was willing to look at it from a different angle. And that was the beginning of the awakening, that, and being encouraged to use all the prayers, you know, especially the sick man's prayer, and to be open to this idea that, you know, the world, you know, instead of focusing on what was wrong with the world and other people, to be willing to take responsibility for my response. You know, look at, oh, how does this affect me? Instead of focusing on, oh, if they would only do this, then it would change. And that was the beginning of this awakening that, oh, I could view the world in a different way. And the result is so much peace and so much connection with a power greater than myself and with other people. You know, when I'm not focusing on what I think is wrong with them and the world, suddenly I don't have to fight other people in the world anymore or myself. So, and the result, you know, regardless of any, you know, religious beliefs, it's entirely practical. You know, when I practice this way of life, that I find more peace. And so why would I not choose that, you know, regardless of, you know, whatever theological beliefs I have or don't have. So very, very grateful that, you know, that this is happening, and it's so simple, but I have to continue to practice it because I just become awake to it. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freya H. And so now we're going to take some more names, and just reminding you, we're reading The Spiritual Experience in Appendix 2 on page 567 in its entirety. So we're going to comment on that whole page in a quarter. So who would like to jump in? It's
Shlomi Kahanam.
Okay, okay, I heard like
Lisa
three people at one time. Okay, I heard Lisa J.R.
Leslie M.
Shlomi Kahanam.
I think I heard Leslie M.
Yes.
Beatrice O.
Okay,
Shlomi Kahanam.
I'm sorry, something Hana?
Shlomi Kahanam.
Shlomi Hana. Okay, Shlomi Hana. And Shlomi Hana, what is your last initial, please? Shlomi Hana? Okay.
Ali A. S.
Okay. I've got Ali A. S. And I heard Beatrice O.
Yes.
Patty T.
And
Robin
D.
Z.
I heard Patty T.
Hoodie R.
I'm sorry, you guys. We're going to be short on time here. So I've got Lisa J. R., Leslie M., and I wish we could stay longer, folks. Shlomi Hana, and I don't know your last initial, Ali S., and Beatrice O., and Patty T. So please, Lisa, get us started.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. And I'll make this real quick because I just, I love this. I came into this program with a lot of experience in my faith, my theology, whatever you would want to say, thinking somehow, I think somebody's unmuted, thinking somehow that I was cheating on my God, quote unquote, by trying to find him in a more deeper way in a secular, you know, movement like AA.
Lisa, Lisa J.R., we lost you. We heard some music instead.
Okay, please. I'm sorry about that, Sherry.
That's okay.
Keep going, please.
Thank you.
Okay, anyway, yeah, so I came in here. My mind was a snapshot as the atheist or agnostic, and that was what was so ironic. I did not think I needed to read We Agnostics, or I said, I got step one, two, and three in the bag. Let's do the inventory. So, you know, over time, God showed me that he brought me here so that I could see that my concept of God was so small. It had to be bigger. And he led me into these rooms. And every day, and I'm going to get off because I want to hear what you say, you guys say, every day you say things that dazzle me, you know, and open my world up. So thank you all. With that, I'll pass.
So JR, and what we're going to have to do, folks, because I want to get everybody in, we're going to do 2 minutes each for everybody. So Leslie M., please jump in.
Good morning, Sherry KB. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the part in the reading today is that I got is that it talks about the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. You know, and that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself. I've been in OA this year 29 years, and I know that I never had this recovery, this abstinence that I've had this time around. And as other people have talked about, you know, the promises are coming true for me. And that's how I know that I've had this, that I now take situations that a year ago I would have created a big mess. And today I take that time to pause and stop and think and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do something different this time, you know, because I have that option. And only because a higher power has removed the obsession and, you know, taken away the obsession, the mental obsession and the, you know, the desire for the food and being neutral around the food and you know, being able to you know, have this mental obsession removed has just been the greatest gift I've ever gotten. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Minute, but thank you, Leslie M. Shlomi Hanna, and your last initial, please. Shlomi Hanna, star one to unmute. Shlomi Hanna.
I'm sorry, I was trying to unmute. It's Shlomit Hanna, B.
B. Okay.
And I'll actually spell my name just for clarity. It's S-H-L-O-M, like in mother,
okay.
I-T, like right. Tom, and then
thank
Hanna.
You.
Okay. So I'll try not to take too much time. Thank you so much for the meeting. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate the shares, and I'm so, so happy to be reading about and hearing about spiritual experience. I've been in program for 18 years, and for most of it, thank God, I've had strong abstinence. I'm just coming back from a relapse. And, you know, through those years, I've definitely had, you know, my whole spiritual life has changed. It has just become so, so much deeper. And there are times when my spiritual experience has happened in a sudden way with just different experiences in life. And there are also times when my spiritual experience has been a lot more gradual. And I'm really grateful that they make that distinction because for me it's been both. You know, I would say that just being in program, just working the steps has been, you know, just doing that itself is, I guess, a slower spiritual experience because it's constant, it's growing, it's every single day. My husband has a wonderful analogy that, you know, if I'm standing at the top of a mountain, if I'm going up, you know, a very small incline, it doesn't feel like I'm making a lot of progress up the road. But then when I turn around, when I'm at the top of the road, I can really see how far I've come. And that has been very true for me in this program. And I actually had a very big spiritual experience today, a very big victory, in that I felt shamed by somebody. And I know that they didn't mean to do it, but it was a shaming event. and I spoke up for myself, and I was able to do this in a very loving way, not in an angry way.
Just a reminder, please.
Thank you. So that I'll just wrap up. So for me, that's the gift of this program is just, you know, being able to be sane and loving and take care of myself at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomi Khanna B. And Alias, you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Alias? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Yes, thank you so much. This is Alias. Can I be heard? Hello?
Hear you. Please go ahead. We have 2 minutes, please. Thank you. Can you hear us?
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Aliyah. I'm a recovering overeater, also alcoholic. And to have that spiritual experience, I had one really briefly when I first came into AA, or I met someone and it was like, oh my God, this is the solution. But like the other kind of spiritual experience by working this program, the more I work at the steps, the more I experience it, like especially step 3, and the more I come to this big book meetings, and the more I read in the big book and work the steps, I realize, oh, there is something bigger than me, and I want to give my life to that bigger thing, because it's to that higher power, because it's just so much easier, because, you know, me and my self-will, it's just craziness, you know. That's why I have a food plan, and I have a sponsor for the food plan that I commit that to every morning, because it's just so much easier. Because when with my self will, I'm just a crazy person. If I run on self will, everything's just a big mess. And the more, you know, day by day, I'm learning to accept again and again, like, I give my life to thee, you know, to build me up as God wishes, and to feel that, you know, in certain questions, I already, like, don't act in panic, like, you know, when it's about new jobs or the future, I know I just have to do my footwork. I don't need to control it myself. I don't need to. If I don't do nothing, I will get nothing, because, you know, I need to do my footwork and give my higher power those proposals, and then my higher power will decide which way is the best for me. But I just recently, yesterday, finished step 3, and it's just so much easier if I give my life to my higher power. And
gentle reminder, please.
Thank you. And daily I just pray, and I give my life to God daily, because I know that I can't manage my life on my own. I can never do it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a disaster. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for this program and grateful to be in this meeting. Thanks so much. And I pass.
Sherry, we can't hear you.
Teacher So and Patty T, you have 1 minute each, please. Beatrice? Beatrice So?
Yes, this is Beatrice.
Okay, you have a minute.
So, okay, I'll be quick. So it says accept spiritual help, and I think some people hear that as religious help. And when I think of religion, I used to think of Jesus Christ. So Jesus's purpose was to be the path to God, and that was the only one. And I think biblical Christianity is different from religion. So there's a superhero. There's a lot of superheroes now, and the latest one is Shazam. I guess it's the new movie. And he says in that movie, it's say my name so that my powers will be yours. So I know who my higher power is, and I know where my power comes from.
And I just wanted to read a line that says, shall I look to the mountain gods for my help? No. My help comes from God who made the mountains. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chris. Patty T., you're going to take us out. 1 minute, please.
Sure. Is this Patty T., right? Okay. Hi, Patty T., recovered in Southern California. You know, in this part, most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. And, you know, I find my God consciousness with the pen and the paper. Because many times in my letters to God, when I'm revealing everything to God that I don't trust revealing to any of you, I find that I say, I know, but, right? And then my God consciousness is yes and. Here it is, God, yes and. Yes, and there's life and happiness after relapse. Yes, and there's life after bankruptcy. Yes, and. Yes, and. And I will give it to you, God, and you direct me. That's how it manifests for me. Knowing I have a higher power is not enough for me. I have to take the action to turn to it. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. And thank you all. This was an awesome meeting today. You guys were awesome. Thank you so much. But that's all the time we have today for sharing. I want to take thank Team Friday. That was Donna B. on the 12 Steps, Kathy G. on the 12 Traditions, Julie E. B. read our text today. Kathleen O. is going to take us out on page 164, and our newcomer greeter is Leslie M., and our announcements are Robin P. So with that being said, we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathleen O. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Kathleen?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.